Hallelujah. Now let me move a little forward. Take note that the sin for this adoption, when Christ was adopted, there were witnesses. Which is my emphasis in this message. The witness for adoption. The witness of adoption. For you to be adopted, there will be witnesses. And those physical witnesses, like we read in Matthew chapter 17, you will notice who are who? Eh? The first one we see was, in fact, the first one we saw was the one that the three disciples saw. They saw Moses and Elijah. Amen. So, in that setting, there was Moses and Elijah, because it's like Moses and Elijah ushered in Christ. Then we had three other witnesses that he picked from his disciples. Peter, James, and John. Peter. So he had five witnesses. Five witnesses. But let's look at them one after the other. Why did he choose Peter? If Peter was his witness, then who is going to be our own witness? If Peter, James, and John, Elijah and Moses were his witnesses, then who is going to be our own witness? Who is going to be your own witness? So this brings us now to Revelation. It means they are speaking of something. They are typing of something that shall witness for a true believer. The first one we see why he chose Peter is because Peter was the apostle of faith. He had the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. He had the revelation of the mystery. The key to open the door. What happened on the day of Pentecost? He was the one, because he knew. He knew that it was the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Prophecy was being fulfilled. That's why he was given the key. Key there is revelation. It's revelation. He had the revelation for redemption. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And remember that Jesus himself, amen, was a man of faith. It also witnessing. Peter was speaking of also the faith that Jesus Christ had. Jesus knew and he preached the kingdom. He had revelation. Revelation. That is what he kept teaching about the coming kingdom in various parables. He had the depth of this revelation. Revelation. And Jesus Christ walked by faith. Jesus walked with faith. 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 Oh, faithless generation. If you have faith as little as a mustard seed. This one was faith, 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 faith. So number one witness for every one of us is that you will also have faith. Amen. The church shall live by faith. By faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you want to confirm, do I have faith? Am I just walking blindly? Do I even have revelation of the mystery of redemption, of salvation? And it's so important, because upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The second witness is James. James was an apostle of works. James was the one that taught us that without faith, in fact, without works. Let's read it. James chapter 1. Let's read some scripture. James chapter 1. Verse 22 to verse 25. James chapter 1. See what he said. But be ye doers of the word. You have revelation of the word. You have revelation. Teacher. Revelation, teachers, teacher, listen to me, teacher. Bible, Sunday school teacher, Sunday school grammarians, all of you. Revelation, enter message, you have revelation. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet message. You have revelation, Abi? By the seventh angel messenger. We are the seventies. We are called. We are. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And in chapter 2, same chapter 2, verse 14, Apostle James was the apostle of works. Faith with works. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. What is the evidence that you have faith? Action. Your action will prove that you have faith. Verse 19. Thou believest. Keep saying, I believe. Malachi 4, 5, 6, I believe. Revelation 10, 7, I believe. You believe, Abi? Thou believest that there is one God. There's nothing like Trinity. There's nothing like this. Thou doest well, oh. The devils also believe and tremble. Yet they are devils. But without know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And he gave an example in verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So what is he saying? Amen. You say you believe. Whatever you believe, if you confess it, it is not enough that you confess it. You must also prove it by the works you did, by the actions. So, if you are going to be adopted, the witness that heaven will see and everybody will see around you is that you were a man of faith and you were a man of faith and works. Faith and works. Not works and drop faith. Faith and works together. But that we see, Christ, he also had faith and he backed up his revelation with works. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Let's read it. It's a popular scripture. The denominations like to quote it regularly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. In the house of Cornelius, Peter was now explaining and talking about Christ to Cornelius, and he spoke to him how God taught him how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen. Who went about doing good? This is the works. Now, this is the works. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was full of compassion. He finished his crusade one time. 5,000 people, they were hungry. He didn't leave them and went away. Hallelujah. He gathered them and fed them before they went, with bread and with fish. They ate and everybody was filled. Compassion. He demonstrated his faith with works. His revelation with works. He practicalized his faith. The third witness is John. John was an apostle of love. He loved Christ so much. And Christ loved him too. The Bible referred to him the apostle whom Christ loved. When they sit down together, it is recorded that Apostle John will put his head, lean his head on his chest like a baby. He loved him. He loved him so much. Praise the Lord. So he understood love. He was the apostle for love. And his epistle, his emphasis was love, 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 love. He said, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. That is what, if you read 1 John chapter 2, read it from verse 9 up to verse 11. 1 John chapter 2, read it on your own. From verse 9 to verse 11, his emphasis is on brotherly love. The evidence that you are in the light is that you will love the brother. You will love one another. If you read 1 John chapter 4 also, from verse 7, up to, in fact, chapter 4 and chapter 5, there you see him emphasizing that God is love. Love, to love is of God. And he that loveth is of God. That you cannot operate outside of love and think you are a Christian. Christ, hallelujah, was an epitome, a demonstration, an embodiment of what true love is. What true love is. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, reading from verse 6, 7, 8, it says, while we were yet sinners, unconditional love, He died for us. He so loved the church as he loved himself. And gave himself for it. He died for the church. And Apostle John expects us to love in the same way. But the type of love many of us love is contractual love. I will love you because you love me. The day you hate me too, I have nothing to do with you. Oh, I love you because of what I'm getting from you. If I cannot get that thing from you, the love ceases. Well, you want to know whether somebody truly loves you, it's not when he's benefiting anything from you. Try to stop it. Then you will know whether he truly loves you. Watch the reactions after you stop it. Then you will know whether what he was loving you for. He was actually not loving you. He was loving the thing you were giving him. And see, the thing is no more there. Love finishes. You can never be adopted. You remain in that estate that you are in. That is the same way we love Christ. You begin to love God because when you pray, he answers you. The day you pray and the prayer lingers for some time, the love begins to shift to somewhere else. That's why you see some people will go to Babalawo. You want another way for that prayer to be answered since God has forgotten you. You begin to look for a substitute. Listen, church. The love we have for Christ must be unconditional. The love we have for one another must be unconditional. And sometimes to test the type of love you have, God will withdraw some things and watch you, whether you will still say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Friendship with Jesus. Whether you will still sing those songs. I love that man of Galilee. How many people will love God in poverty? How many people will still say, I love him? Some of you stop preaching because you felt going to preach in your condition was a reproach. If I wear this kind of shoe, come out to go preach, they will abuse me. Of course they will abuse you, yes, but it's part of the reproach. And you must be ready to take it. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. Love. So these three witnesses must be found around you to qualify you for the adoption. Where you can stay and speak to the fig tree and speak to any situation and it comes to pass. No man eateth fruit from thee henceforth, and it will dry up. Where you can stand and say, hey, son, stand still, like Joshua, and the son will stand still. Where you can also hold the hand of a dead man, say, come back to life. You are not going yet, and the person will come back to life. Not the type that you will cry, like I cried for how many hours, before he came back to life. Some years ago, one young girl that was dying from my house. I pray, for her, so that I'm tired, so I don't give up. Not be that kind of one, no. That one, God just pity me, say, this one, you don't shout too much, make her answer. I'm talking of where you go with full authority, full power. Where you say rain, no rain today, there will be no rain. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where you will speak and it will come to pass. Where will Abraham in this age, at least, he is the one I know. There are others, but he's the one I know I talk about. Will Abraham is not the only Christian in this age. There are people that have practiced this Christianity within the limit of revelation they had. Enough to have a good report from above. Because people who listen to us, they think that we say it's only Will Abraham. It's only Will Abraham. That is how Elijah thought he was the only one. It cannot be only him. It cannot be only him. But he's the one we know. If you know any other one, let me know. And I will make reference to him. But this is the one I read well, study well. And every day I make reference to him. Oh Lord, make me humble like Will Abraham. Oh Lord, let me have faith like him. That I can stand at this altar in a crusade, not even for church here, in a crusade with all the security around. A madman is coming to attack him. And everybody knew the story of that madman. The demon in him hated crusade. He was known for scattering crusades. Will Abraham is in a crusade. And the madman comes in. Very huge man. The way he's described, like almost a giant. And then he was coming and cursing William Branham. And he was coming. And the security were trying to rush him. And William Branham could stand. Tiny William Branham was not big. Tiny him. And said they should stop. Security, stop. He said, this is Satan versus God. Hey. Father, give me that anointing. Father, give me that grace. And then you could turn and look at him. And as the man was approaching him to finish him, he said, you Satan, this day ye shall bow before me. And he didn't say, in the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, fire. He didn't even shout, are you Satan? Oh, glory be to God. And everybody was watching. And the man came. When he reached where William Branham was, He knelt down and bowed at his feet. And T.L. Osborne was in that group. T.L. Osborne wrote this testimony. It's not William Branham that said it. T.L. Osborne went to the crusade, sitting at the back there. He said, "What? Who is this man?" And he ran to his house, locked himself in a room. "Lord, tell me, who is this man?" He didn't shout. We would have been speaking in tongues. They throw back. You will bow. Too much, you take off and run. Hallelujah. William Branham said this was the secret of his anointing. He called it the 11th commandment. He spoke about the power of love. When he taught us, he said, anybody that comes to you for prayer, if you are going to succeed and have that prayer answer, he said, first and foremost, get into the feeling of the person you are praying for. Hallelujah. He said, when you get into the feeling of the person, you feel the pain the person is feeling. You feel the frustration the person is in frustration. He said, you will not shout. You will not shout. Any prayer you offer, there is an anointing that goes with compassion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. William Branham demonstrated this. Hallelujah. Therefore, we were not surprised when he gave his testimony about the power of the spoken word. The power of the spoken word. What were the witnesses? We said faith. We said works. And we said love. If you ever know the testimony of that man, if you ever read anything about the ministry of that man, you will see these three witnesses standing before William Branham. You will see faith revelation, the mystery of salvation. He had it. He brought it out. Hallelujah. You will see works. Hallelujah. You see works. You had when he removed his coat to give somebody who was feeling cold. He could not see this poor person, you know, dying of cold. He removed his own coat and gave him. You saw how the testimony of the sister that they were contributing money for their building project, and then he saw a check that was written by the woman. And he knew her to be a widow. He knew her to be poor. He knew her that how she must have emptied everything she has to bring this type of offering. And he took it and said, no. Compassion. Took it for him to go and give it back to her. And he said, he was going when the Holy Ghost told him that you, Abraham, you don't need that offering, but I need it. Because there's another principle that God wanted to use to bless that woman. Praise the Lord. But see what a compassionate heart will be. There was a time that the enemies were looking for him. So they sent IRS, the Inland Revenue Service, tax collectors. You know, they are worse than EFCC in America. Okay. IRS. Tell us who they are. So that people understand what that man went through.
They are the tax agency that look for money for the government.
If they catch you, say you no pay tax, what will happen?
Prison.
Prison straight. No mercy.
No.
No mercy. And they follow you. And then they went to the account of William Branham. And then they say, you receive so much money. Where is your tax? They pursue him. The man no go school. The man did not know how to keep account. So, when they finally caught him, he began to explain. Any money that came into that account, he doesn't even know how it comes. People look for his account, they were putting money there. But every money you saw that went out, there were donations that I donated to one person or the other that was in need. And they traced all the money that went out actually, and they discovered that he never spent that money on himself. except he didn't know you had problem and he had money in that account. And then the tax people came and gave that testimony and they cleared him. Because if you give out money out for donation, it is not taxable. So he eventually had nothing to pay tax on. Because everything was given to charity. Love, compassion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was a testimony of William Branham. A man in this same age that we are in now. He had those witnesses. We must also have the same witness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I told you Moses and Elijah are the fourth and fifth witnesses that appeared. Why did he bring him in there? It is simple. Moses was representing the law. Elijah was representing the prophets. They are the two that spoke of him. The law was a shadow of him. And the prophets prophesied of his coming. And he did not come to destroy the law. The Bible says so. If you read Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. He did not come to destroy, but he came to fulfill. He came to fulfill. If you read John chapter 5, hallelujah. From verse 39, read it up to verse 47. He kept emphasizing, if you have believed Moses, then you believe him. You believe the writings of Moses, then Moses wrote of me. So, then, if you believe the scriptures, if you believe the scriptures, hallelujah, then, it is then you will accept Jesus. It is then you will follow his example. It is then you will have faith. The foundation, hallelujah, of the Christian religion, Christianity, is faith based on what is written in the Bible. We are product of the law and the prophets. So, to start with, you must believe. Remember, the Holy Ghost is first and foremost given to them that believe. Believe what? Believe the gospel. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel. He that believe and is baptized. Believe what? Believe the gospel. Where do we get the gospel from? From the law and from the prophets. So it's important that everyone that will be adopted, you have your foundation from the Bible. You are guided by the Bible. You are guided by the scripture. That is why we study to show ourselves approved unto God, as Apostle Paul will say. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then take note, therefore, that to qualify for this adoption that is awaiting every one of us in this age, and it will soon begin. By the revelation, so many of you have seen. So many of you have come to me personally to tell me what you saw. And some of you say it confidently because you know that whatever you see comes to pass. Each time you narrate some of these things to me, you don't know what those revelations are doing to me. They are letting me know that time is very, very close. So many of you have seen this mighty revival that is set to take place. And many of us here will be there. And I pray that all of us will be part of it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And take note. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Faith, works, and love. I want you to note something. The Bible tells us, be ye perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Correct? The Bible says so. Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And we will not understand that perfection. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 5 up to verse 12, He gave that stature of perfection. How you grow and reach that perfection. There's something I want you to note there. Remember that it begins with faith. Faith is the first witness for perfection. Before you are ever adopted. There is no adoption without perfection. And this perfection here, praise God. Perfection is not speaking about sinlessness. So I'm not talking about the life of sinlessness. Perfection here is maturity. The ability to discern good and bad. The ability to know what is pleasing before God at any material moment. You will notice that it starts with faith. And it ends with charity. Faith. Add to your faith, virtue. Then knowledge. Then temperance. Then patience. Then godliness. Then brotherly kindness. Then charity. 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 You will notice that between faith, it starts with faith and it ends with charity. Between faith and charity, everything you see there is works. It's works. Virtue is what you do to make your faith attractive. Knowledge. Hallelujah. Temperance. Patience. Godliness. Brotherly kindness. Everything here is demonstration. Demonstration of your faith. It's works. So these three witnesses are all imbibed there in the statue of perfection, as Peter put it. That if these things are not lacking, these things must not be lacking in us. So that we shall be partakers of the glory that is ahead. I'm paraphrasing what Peter was saying there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Charity, Colossians 3 verse 14, and 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13, if you are writing it down. Colossians chapter 3 verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. Apostle Paul, talking to both Colossians and the Corinthians, he said that charity is the bond of perfectness. Charity. Faith without love, you are nothing. Works without love, you are nothing. Everything is rounded up. That is why in love, that is why William Branham preached the 11th commandment. It is love. It is love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that you'll understand why Apostle Paul in Hebrew chapter 6 verse 1, he said, he admonished us that we should leave all the principle. Let's read it for emphasis. Hebrew chapter 6 verse 1, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Every time of the pattering of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Every time. Hallelujah. Water baptism. Every time. This will we do if God permit. But please, let us move on to perfection. That's what he's teaching us there. Let's go on to perfection. Works. May faith works. And then crown it up with love. When you come to that estate, then we are ready. We are ready for the adoption. These witnesses must be seen around us. And as I close, I want to bring your attention to something. That in Matthew chapter 16, you will notice verse 27 and verse 28. He says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then, future, he shall reward every man according to his works. Then he added, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He was talking to his disciples. And he said, at that time, when he was talking to them, he said, there are some that are standing there with him, that will not die. They will not die. They will be alive to see, hallelujah, the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, coming in his glory. And chapter 17, verse 1, he then said, after 6 days, 6 days after he made that statement, remember, this book is written by the Holy Ghost, and you need to decode what he's saying there. From this, he was letting us know that this adoption of the church will take place in the seventh church age. After six church ages, the seventh church age is the age for the adoption. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the collective adoption of the church. And if anybody is here in this age, you don't get adopted, I pity you. You will not be part of that revival. But does it mean I will not make the rapture? You will make the rapture. But in what estate? You will make the rapture. But in what estate? Did you see how he appeared? Did you see the glory that was around him? It's a reflection of the authority that is upon him. What will be your authority when we come in the millennium? For 1,000 years, what will be your estate? What authority will you have? I wonder how the millennium will look like among believers. The bride of Christ in Revelation chapter 19 is seen in a special dress. It's not just white. It is fine linen. It is the color or the material of royalty. It's not ordinary white cloth. It's not like those we see in chapter 7 of Revelation. This time now, it is refined. Hallelujah. It has passed all the tests. And it is sitting in glory, because we are supposed to sit in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must also appear glorious. But this is what entitles you to that glory, is that these three witnesses back up your Christian faith. You must have faith, you must have works, and you must have love. Love, the bond of perfection. Love, the bond of perfection. And may the Lord help every one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, may the Lord bless every one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we stand up? Can we stand up? There's a song that I want us to sing. It's a prayer. No, it's a confession. It's not even a prayer. I am ready to obey thy words. I am ready to obey thy words. I am ready to obey the living word of God.
To obey.
Okay. Hallelujah. Ugochukwu, where is it? Ugo, who sent this note to me now? See, you say something. According to John 5:37 and Matthew 17:5, there was a voice witnessing about Jesus Christ. Now, according to you, your sermon topic, you did not mention the voice as a witness. And that voice is the voice of the Father. So my question is the voice not a witness also, according to John 5:37, which we see in Matthew 3:16 and Matthew 17? That is all we are talking now. We are saying that voice of the Father is the adoption. It's the voice of adoption. It's not a witness. It's the outpouring of authority on you. So it's not a witness. That's what I wanted to explain to you. It's not a witness. It is because of that voice we need the three witnesses. So he is not a witness. It is the spirit of adoption. It is the Father releasing authority. So he cannot. A church cannot be a witness now. Can a church be a witness? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You said you cannot be adopted until you are baptized and hear and have the Holy Ghost. And you say you will make the rapture if you are not adopted. So are you saying you can go in the rapture without the Holy Ghost? You are not listening to me. Eh? I said it is only a child that will be adopted. You must first be a son before you are adopted. And what makes you a son is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that after you receive the Holy Ghost, you must acquire these three witnesses to qualify you for adoption. And the adoption places you in a glorified estate with the Lord Jesus. If you don't have it, you will make the rapture quite alright. But in which estate? And while we are here now, you will be limited by the authority that will be given to you. You will not have the full. You are the type that you are a child of God, and witches and wizards will be messing you up. Yet you are born again. But witches and wizards make some of you now. Don't you go village. Every night, vigil. Because if you don't pray, they'll finish you. But when you reach that estate, hallelujah, when they see you, they saw Jesus, they said, demons begin to tremble. Have you come to finish us before our time? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Every time they are pursuing you, your dream. Pursue you. But when you are adopted, when they see you, they see Jesus. You will not fast. Long fasting. Nothing spiritual you do with stress. The ability will just be given to you. You will be so close to God that you will tell everybody, why are you looking for Jesus again? You want to see Jesus? See me now. When you see me, you see Jesus. What do you want Jesus to do for you that I cannot do for you? That is the state I'm talking about. If you want to be part of it, clap your hand for Jesus.
Praise God.
God, give me, hear ye him, anointing. Let it be your prayer from today. Especially those of us that desire to serve God. Serve God with a reward. There are people that serve God for their own reward. But those of us who desire to serve God with our reward coming in the future. Amen. I'm showing you the excellent way of doing it now. And may we all attain it in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, may we all attain it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.